Love. Mary Baker Eddy stated that the Bible was her primary resource, which enabled her to discover Christian Science. Chapter 12 of the textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, is entitled Christian Science Practice, and she begins that with the story of Mary Magdalene, wherein she discusses the story about Jesus being an honored guest of a Pharisee by the name of Simon. And Mary Magdalene entered the home while they were eating. And it goes on to detail the actions that Mary Magdalene took, which was a true expression of love that she expressed to the greatest man that ever walked the globe, in Mary Baker Eddy's words, which of course was Jesus. And it includes emphatically the quality of forgiveness, whereby Jesus made clear that Mary Magdalene had been forgiven, for she had been transformed. If there is one quality that stands out above all others with Jesus, it was the quality of love. His disciples ask him about forgiveness, for example, indicating that if someone does wrong and continues to do it, how many times should they be forgiven? 7 times? And he said, no, 70 times 7. It seems that that indicates that it is continuous. You don't count them. You always do it. He did not hold the soldiers that took him captive, wherein he ended up being crucified. He didn't hold them responsible. He wasn't resentful about them. And when Peter cut the ear off of one of them, he healed it immediately. He said, put up thy sword. In the movie Joshua, which has some very good qualities expressed, someone was asking him about the Bible. And he said, that's the book of love. Throughout the whole Bible, it explains love. The entire Bible is the book of love, the story of love. King David, being a shepherd, nurtured his sheep. He fought with a lion to save them. And of course, he fought Goliath to save the people that were in war with them. Daniel knew that he would be violating the king's rule if he prayed 3 times a day. But he had such a love for God that he was willing to face whatever he needed to face in order to be reverent to God, to glorify God, to show his love for God, his total faith and loyalty to God, the one and only God. And of course, as is told in the story, the mouths of the lions, when he was thrown into the lion's den, were contained. It had to be love. One of the greatest healers in our era of the last 100+ years was Frederick L. Rawson. He took a battalion of men out to war in World War I because he was required to do so by the British government. And he gave them text to read to keep their thought on God. That was the true love in action, mothering, nurturing, protecting the men. And they all came back without a scratch. He also has stated that our one goal in life in dealing with others is to do everything possible to please them. In other words, giving, 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 giving. Not be concerned whether they are making mistakes in their lives, but to do whatever it takes to please them. Mary Baker Eddy stated that the divinity of Jesus was possible because of the magnitude of his humanity. Well, this is what Mr. Rawson was doing in acting this way himself and in promoting that kind of behavior for everyone in his teachings. He stated that if you want to know God, study about God being love. In Genesis 1, which can be divided into 7 steps and has been deemed to be titled the 7 days of creation, the 7th day, the final day, is attributed to the quality of love. Because love is the finale. If one is demonstrating and living love, they are living the other 6 qualities automatically, which is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. For the quality of love means nurturing, as stated previously. And what are you nurturing? One is nurturing all of the qualities of God in all thought, speech, and action. So therefore, one is nurturing the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. And of course, as well as love. So the qualities of mind, some of the primary ones, are creativeness, action, intelligence, wisdom, knowing, omnipresence. So no matter where we are in thought or geographic location or situation or whatever, we need to be present, have our thought present in the realm of love. We need to recognize that love is omnipresent itself. So there's no reason, no excuse for us not to be reflecting that quality. It's there. Doesn't matter how dire the situation seems to be, how stressful, love is there. It's omnipresent. And Mr. Rawson states that love is the harmonizing action of everything. I read about a testimony one time where somebody had been robbed. And in the process, the so-called victims were sticking to the quality of love. And that included the one that supposedly was robbing them. And that individual left, taking away the things they were stealing. And they continued thinking about that person with the quality of love. And that individual returned to the home, apologized and asked for forgiveness, and returned everything they had stolen. In other words, love could not be resisted. It penetrated the so-called evil nature that was being expressed by the thief. It neutralized it and transformed the whole thought of the individual. Mary Baker Eddy states that love is not wishy-washy. In other words, lay down and let people run over you. She makes strong demands on love. It is a discipline, and at the highest level of spirituality. Love is not letting a dependent child run across the street by itself without providing the protection. So you don't let the child run across the street by itself and be subject to danger. When Jesus was in the desert, tempted by the devil to jump off the cliff, he said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." One wouldn't go down driving on a highway or down a street and take their hands off the wheel and say, "God will take care of me," in some bland fashion. If something occurs to us that seems to be out of our control, such as an accident, the belief of an accident, then that is a totally different story. That's not tempting God. That's not tempting infinite mind, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. Then the opportunity is to yield what appears to be a suggestion of extreme discord, yield that belief in consciousness to a seeking of protection harmonizing action from the omnipresent mind. Creativity is one of the primary qualities of mind, which then is converted to action, which then becomes performance, accomplishment, and that is measured as power. So the source of power develops in that type of a sequence. Power is not automatic. Power is a measurement of accomplishment. Real power is not static, but it's dynamic. God is described as being omni-action. Never static, but always dynamic. One cannot be skilled to a very, very high level of perfection unless they practice whatever that skill is about. Continuous practice is required. And that certainly is at the top of the list of love. Living love must be practiced in every little, small, minuscule activity and the smallest measurement of time, which is defined as moment. So every moment, we have to be careful that we're not letting a suggestion enter which puts one in a static state of thought. It must be dynamic. Constantly filtering and applying the qualities of love in all thought, speech, and action. Jesus brings out the point that what one is thinking is the same as doing it. Are we thinking love? And of course, if we're thinking it, contemplating it, letting our consciousness be inundated with all the various forms that love might take, then we're automatically going to be active in doing it. For our experience is defined by our thoughts. Our experience is defined by our actions expressing our thoughts. Referring to the infinitude of all existence, it is being discovered that there are new universes that were never known of before. The universe, all existence, is not static. It's a constant revelation. One cannot be static in their thought. They have to be constantly seeking revelation for an ever-expanded thought, an ever-expanded dimension And as this treatment has been focusing on the term love, that is an excellent place to begin. For that is inclusive of everything else. Do we love intelligence, knowing, wisdom? If we love it, then we will be nurturing it. We will be cultivating it. We will be practicing it. We're not going to be static and let ignorance occupy any portion of one's consciousness. So the qualities, the seven that have been mentioned, interact with each other continuously. How about spirit? Do we love spirit? Spirit is defined as substance, pureness, transparency, reflection. Do we love those qualities? Are we nurturing them? Are we expressing them? Are we living them? And how about soul? Soul is defined as spiritual sense, being spiritual because spirit is the only substance. So senses have to be spiritual if they're going to be real. So seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, we must be doing it from a spiritual viewpoint. We must be looking through the lens of spirit whenever we think about any of those senses. Exchange any thought of material sense for spiritual sense. Are we perceiving spiritually, which is the primary function of seeing, perception? Are we understanding, which is what the quality of hearing is all about? Are we understanding spiritually what we're looking at? Are we hearing what it is being said? Are we hearing the message of what we're seeing? And of course, we're basically seeing what we are, because our thoughts project and become our experience. Feeling, tasting, smelling, everything is related to spiritual senses, spiritual viewpoint. In fact, Mr. Rawson states that there are no material senses. And obviously, Mary Pecoretti makes that very clear. She was, and her works were what Mr. Rawson studied. Principle, think of a self-operating device that is in action, that has no resistance, like looking at one of these enclosed glass structures that has a pendulum swinging continuously without interruption, because there's no friction, there's no resistance. It goes on endlessly. Think of principle as being an endless operation. The law of God being continuously in operation. Perhaps one could think of a speed limit out on a highway. Whether there's a policeman there to monitor the activity, the traffic and so forth, the law is still posted. Well, of course, God's law is permanent and omnipresent. So whether anyone is paying attention or not, the law is there. And there will be consequences if the law is not obeyed. Harmony disappears. Chaos is the belief that surrounds one's life if they do not abide with the laws that govern all existence. God's laws. Life is the fifth quality in the series of the days of creation, as outlined in Genesis chapter 1. And life is the living of all of God's qualities. Demonstrating from the tiniest to the largest one that one is faced with in challenges. But it's living the qualities of God. So that no matter whether the problem seems to be minuscule or whether it seems to be beyond comprehension that it's so big. It's like any large project, you deal with one little element at a time. If a problem seems so big that easy to confuse one, you deal with one element at a time. You start with what is God and pick a quality, you know, mind, spirit, soul, whatever. You can focus on intelligence or wisdom or knowing, the omnipresence, the action, the creativity. One of the topics that Mary Baker Eddy chose to be repeated every 6 months is that God is the only cause and creator. One could focus on that if there is chaos that one is facing. The military of one of the countries that was involved in war one time were the subject of the opposition trying to hypnotize them. And they were instructed by their wise commanding officer to do in thought, think about, occupy their thought with something that they knew to be true, that was good, that worked, a principle of some kind. And so the common thing to think about was the mathematical tables. Mathematics. Are they convinced that 2 times 3 equals 6? And that 10 squared is 100? They could think about any part of mathematics that they understood and were convinced was true. And that would keep their thought on something that was true, which would prevent it from straying or being subject to hypnotism or mesmerism by a devious outside so-called source. Mary Baker Eddy relates about an actor being so lame he could hardly walk to the theater where he was going to perform. And he sat in the chairs there where they sit awaiting for their part to come up, aching and so forth. But when his cue to get on stage came, he transformed his thought immediately to being the actor. And the statement was made that he was moving around on the playset as if he were the youngest one in the audience, youngest one in the whole company of performers. What one really needs to do is to realize that that is their true nature, and sitting in the chair in pain is a suggestion and not the true nature. That's not the true man. Playing the part of perfection is what we need to realize is truth. That's the real man. That's loving the qualities of perfection. It's so easy to see how love can be applied to every quality, every situation, if the effort is just made. And the results will be rewarding. Or one is transforming what appears to be a physical discord, or any kind of discord, mental, doesn't matter. But it converts the discord, as Mr. Rawson states, it harmonizes everything with perfection, the perfection of love. Love, love, love. Love, love, and more love. The key to the success of Jesus, the key to the success of Mr. Rawson, the key to the success of Mary Baker Eddy, she, like Jesus, had everyone attacking her. Her own board of directors. They couldn't wait till she passed away from visible sight to remove everything that helped people remember who she was. They took down statues. They converted her home to something totally unrelated. The home that she named Pleasant View and spent so many of her Christian Science developing and teaching years. They wouldn't let people talk about her. They took her picture out of her own textbook, republished it without her picture. She had her picture in the final edition. She did not have it copyrighted. She said it should be open to the world. They immediately copyrighted it, probably illegally. Jesus, how many did he have at the foot of his cross when he was crucified? What, a half a dozen people? His mother and Mary Magdalene and John. Wasn't any more than a half a dozen people, I don't believe. And he taught thousands and thousands. One group alone had 5,000. Another one had 4,000. And they don't even count women and children. Those were the men. So it was probably double that figure or more, maybe triple the figure with children. So that's, you know, that's like 30,000 people right there just in two hillside events. So everybody turned on Jesus. Almost everybody turned on Mary Baker Eddy. I mean, the people that lived in her home for years, and she was teaching on a daily basis the intricacies of healing and understanding the Christ consciousness, understanding the works of Jesus and other noted prophets and so forth. They wrote very, very little. Of course, they were, you know, instructed by the board of directors, stay away from it. In fact, Mr. Rossin himself was banned from the church. He was not supposed to even mention Mary Baker Eddy. Joel Goldsmith, another great healer. He had appointments every 15 minutes, I believe it was. Had his offices there across from the Mother Church. Every 15 minutes. And they all left being healed. He did that for years. Finally, he was chased out of town. Because he was taking all the business away from the practitioners that were not successful. He didn't even charge for his services. They were all free. They were all fearful. How would they live if they didn't charge for their services, which were unsuccessful anyway, on the most part? Wentworth Winslow, same thing. A great healer. He came two or three decades later. Well, he was active, I believe, the same time Mr. Rossin was, but Mr. Rossin left us in the early 20s, or maybe mid-20s, 1920s. And Mr. Winslow, I believe, was around until around 1950. 35 years he was in the healing practice. He healed one person that had passed on. He healed everything you can imagine. And he wrote something like, I think, around 150 or more articles. And they've been bound in four different volumes. You know, God will do it. God is doing it. God did it. Let God do it. Those are the titles, I believe, if I didn't make a mistake in a word here or there. Wonderful, wonderful accounts of healing and how to keep your thought in the right line for perfecting one's understanding about God. Again, in the end, he was chased out of the population because the medical profession knew they would go out of business if this kind of thing was prolific. Human mind rejects truth. That's a standard default for the human mind. It rejects truth. It rejects anything unlike itself, which of course is a lie. Just like a corrupt government, it rejects anything that wants to tell the truth, because it can't promote its lie. if people wake up to the truth. A corrupt king wants to get rid of its enemies. Its enemies is the truth, as manifested by individuals who are expressing the truth. Many of the great discoveries about astronomy, mathematics, physics, chemistry, the leaders in the fields that made the greatest discoveries, they didn't have friends because everybody was envious. And the population itself had been mesmerized by a corrupt media to think that it was evil, that it was wrong, that it was fake news, when in fact the media was the fake news. This isn't new. This has been going on since humanity was all discovered, since the beginning the humanity was discovered. Mary Baker Eddy talks about material man being and material universe being lie upon lie. The effect of compounding. It works for everything. It works for good and it works for evil. A little bit here and a little bit there. You keep adding it up. And it's a compounding effect. It goes from a linear to a geometric progression. It is one's duty to glorify God. And the absolute best way we can do that is to live love. Because love is the conclusion, that's the finale of all the other qualities. It includes all the other qualities. It's the perfection of all the qualities. And that's what our duty is. That's how we can best glorify God. John says, God is love. Those three words are on the walls of most, if not all, the Christian Science churches throughout the world, those that are left. Well, if we want to know God, we have to know love. To know love, we have to practice it. In the tiniest little way possible, so that we can add the good upon good. Remember, Mary Baker Eddy stated, the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. That means accomplishment. Accomplishing good gives us the power, because power is a measurement of accomplishment. And it's dynamic. It has to be active all the time. God is love. God is all in all. God is the only source, and that includes God's manifestation. Amen.